The Desperate Ones Excerpts Podcast 2. To get into church, you've got to walk the resin labyrinth on your knees. You could get there from the surface normally, but the door was caved in now, the dust still settling from the blast. So Rabin took the tunnel in. It was phosphorescent, full of night sounds, with a smell like rust and mushrooms. She prayed her decades, her faith like Gretel's breadcrumbs, like a rut of moonlight in her tracks. She followed the trail of the cathartics before her. She'd bathed and come to this place free of the Dominion Capital cosmetics, which she wore to work in Gomorrah. She came every Sunday, while the others simmered above, waiting for their God to save them. She came clean. If she brought any transgressions into church, they were her own. Any rub-off from the Johns she left outside. Sin wasn't something she believed in, but she set great faith in shame. The maze was circular, like an elaborate hob. The bodies of the early martyrs formed the bloodless silhouettes around her. The small lights of the sewer gas lamps glimmered ahead. This meant the generator was viable despite the blast. The confess would have power, now and forever. If she concentrated on the pressure on her knees as she crawled, the real would banish the unreal. The bruises had not yet healed from the last crawl. The yellow-green shapes would now be a dark purple badge again. There was only one way to go, snaking around the corners. All mazes had centers. Even if she couldn't see it from here, she knew where she was going. St. Dimphna waited near the coiled hub, her eyes half shut. Her caftan was tailored to reveal the exit wound in her belly from a riot police bullet. Rabin crawled faster. She hesitated for a moment. The resin of Dimphna's transparent sarcophagus had cracked, and a beam of light bled from her mouth like a warning. Rabin did a quick check of the premises. No griffins patrolling, all angel cams burnt to a black glut of wire. One confess was smashed in a corner. Someone unfriendly had been here before. Rabin adjusted herself in the small space of the confess booth, with one bloody knee tucked up against the door. She slipped her decades, the wired beads she wore about her wrist, into the slot. The keypad illuminated. She attached one node to her temple, another to her chest as the reader booted up. Once her code was in, the decades pulsed. She closed her eyes and thought of her transgressions. Avarice and doubt. What if it really was the end after all, just as the blessed brief had claimed? What if it was over? And she'd not yet executed even one perfect prayer. Her mind wandered, even at the thought of perfection, maybe because of it. What she wouldn't do for a nice cup of tea. The screen registered this by turning a milky, steaming brown color. Why did the nodes look so new? Had someone been in to polish them? Already her wild trivialities registered as a jagged fragment on the screen. Then the small death of full confession blanked out her thoughts for her. That was the exchange. You deposited your transgressions in the shoal of accumulated vice, and you unplugged with honor. In the periphery of her darkness, something shadowed her, and it did not wish her well.
Routine maintenance of quarantine technology.
A typical voice quarter spoke, tinny and distant. Maybe it was a patrolling griffin. It wouldn't be the first time she had to work around one. But frozen in full confession, she would have to hope it didn't sniff her out. How do you trick a griffin? Give it a joke with no punchline. How many cathartics does it take to change a pan? she muttered as two red circles floated in her field of vision. Whatever it was, it had scanned her. In the silence, her readout began to print. No detectable transgressions, no penance required.
Bollocks!
She tore the receipt up, streaked with the last red ink of the cartridge. Forgiveness is perpetual, with the St. Michael signatory embossed like a scab below. Something had tampered with the confess. Someone had botched her connection to the prayer frame. She slammed the wall of the confess, crumpling the receipt. The evening was flocked with clouds hanging low in the sky, oppressively pretty. Rabin walked from her apt to work every night, past the derelict church off Shroud Mews. Tonight she noticed the squatters had gone. Their vegetable garden wilted in the gray frost, their myriad belongings strewn out onto the pavement as if they had fled in a hurry. People were leaving Pottersfield en masse. Every night she showed up for work at Gomorrah, the brothel run by Dominion Capital. Fewer and fewer girls were there, and even fewer customers. It became a curiosity to note who was staying, who had decided to wait it out. Rabin preferred to call the Dominion Capital brothel by its old name, Bartholomew, which was the name of the place when it was a hospital. Bartholomew had been her employer for the past 5 years. She was paid to collect ash from the trays in a red metal box and take men's pellets for services rendered. She liked the job. It was clinical, despite its sordidness. Nothing tempted her there, unlike her stint as a shop girl at Twinkle Twinkle, where things found their way into her pockets. She got sacked for that, and pinched by the old bill, didn't she? She'd since been forgiven, and she had the confess receipts to prove it, and that little red brand on her palm, courtesy of justice. She got off easy. She stepped over a toppled auto vend on the corner, its bright contents of Sims, lube buttons, and pegs looked like children's toys spilled across the pavement. Glass glistened on the sidewalk like treasure. Girls from the adjacent estate trolled through the shards, looking for something they might use. Over them, psychedelia, freshly mixed, floated from the apts, the wailing guitars like stormy weather. From another cubicle, a console droned, "That's 30 times more from the Never Say Die Club." Adflitz offered muffled promises to the stragglers of Pottersfield, promises never to be made good. A curbside brief ticker bleated. Bookies report subterranean mutation plague at 18 to 1, while no end whatsoever at 7 to 1. Punters put a number on everything. She saw herself reflected in the glassy facade of the defunct World Bank outpost. In her uniform, the sequin tap pants and matching pillbox hat looked like glittering wounds in the dusk. Would she have to turn them in, or could she keep them? They'd been given no instruction by the Red Hoods, those petty bureaucrats that ran the place. The assumption was that they would all work until the very last hour, when the seven gates would open and they'd all be taken up. What god would receive her in this getup? The bastards weren't fooling her with that cock and bull of a merciful savior. First impressions count. It worried her that maybe she couldn't meet him clean, confessed. All her life she'd been a good girl. The girl that made her bed every day in the Red Crystal Home for Girls. She always washed her plate, always said her prayers. Not out of obedience, but habit. Her job at Gomorrah was similar in its nightly rhythm. It was stupid to leave it, even after it became harder to hide her bruises, which were the revolutionary cathartic's badge of honor. Rabin prayed right under their noses, the humming beads of her decades tucked tight against her chest. She dared the roving angels and visiting Red Hoods to discover her. Maybe she even wanted them to. A martyr's death, like the ones before her, that would be the right way to end. But if it's all the same, she'd like things to stay as they were. On the clock, crawling to the confess, praying and collecting ashes. The crystal of her decades quickened at her chest in answer. For there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I guard the fire until it blazes, until this heaven passes away, it whispered to her. Her prayer loaded to the prayer frame, double, triple, engaged with others. But what if the heavens pass away and there is no one left to pray? The thought sent a shudder through her. She had to put away the emptiness, fold it neatly with nurse corners in the back of her mind. It started to rain. The ad beacon atop the brothel blacked out, its molten cascade of fleshy images stilled to empty tubes. It had been hacked again. It made her happy to see others waiting it out, broadcasting their missives to the few who waited too. It was a kind of feeling like she had years ago when she first found her decades hidden in a crack in the pavement, and she just knew it was a sign. She stopped to read the hacked message, knowing it would make her late. "Noba Daddy," it addressed the dark square. "We reject your sim sets and ad babble. The jealous god of the corporation acknowledges our gods, forgiving and shameless, simply by its jealousy. You hate our joy. You can't bring on the end with a sim. Our domain unsearchable, our gods unscannable. Here we are. Reboot." Even if they got the shame part wrong, joy sounded good to her. The gleaning girls far behind her now, she was the only one in the street to read it. She lingered longer, knowing she would miss her clock in. Something surely was going down.